the same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, let us pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your holy word. We thank thee for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for sending him, who is our prophet, priest, and king. We thank thee that he has spoken your holy word. We thank you that your apostles have written down your word. And we thank thee that we can consider his teaching while on earth today, though he be at your right hand at present. We thank thee, O Lord, that we can approach unto thee through him in prayer. We thank thee that because he has ascended on high, we thank thee that he has sent your Holy Spirit. So we pray that he would send his Spirit to us this day, that we might have our hearts and our minds illuminated, enlightened, that we might understand the truth of this parable. Teach us much in it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've just read the parable to you. Now let me read next section, chapter 13, verses 18 through 23, which give us Jesus' interpretation of this parable. Jesus, having given this parable, later is with his disciples, and they ask him about this parable, and he gives them an explanation of it. And so let us hear his explanation. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receives the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. This Lord's Day afternoon, we come to another one of the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been looking at these parables for a little over a year. We began to consider them in January of last year. And we actually looked at the passage of Scripture that's in between the parable of the sower and the explanation of the parable that I just gave you. We looked at a portion of Scripture where Jesus tells us about the parables in general, what their purpose is. And we basically saw that Jesus says parables both reveal and conceal. They're very simple illustrations of spiritual truths that people who God gives the grace to see them can learn much about the kingdom in a simple parable about real life. But he also says that parables conceal. For those that can't see, they don't understand the parable. It's revealing to some, and the parable is concealing to others. It doesn't help them at all. They don't understand it. And we see that worked out, don't we, in this very parable. today as we look at the parable of the sower, we see that that's even what Jesus called it in verse 18. He says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." I would have maybe thought it was the parable of the soils, because there's four soils. But Jesus himself says this is the parable of the sower. This is the one that's sowing the seed. You remember the five C's that we've said we need to remember? If we're going to look at a parable, we need to pay attention to the context of the parable. We need to pay attention to the characters, the people in the parable. We need to pay attention to the content of the parable. Then we need to pay attention to the conclusion of the parable, if there is one. And then we need to pay attention to the consequences of the parable. That is what we can deduce or understand from the parable itself. Well, this parable has a context. It has characters. It has a content. It even has a conclusion. It has all four of the C's. A lot of parables don't have all four of them. This has all four, and we obviously have some consequences. So what's the context? I think we see the context when Matthew tells us that earlier in the day, Jesus' mother and his brothers come to the house that he's staying in. And someone announces, there must be a big crowd, they can't easily come right in the door and meet him. And somebody says, "Hey, your mom and your brothers are outside." And Jesus asked the question, who is my mother and my brother? And he points to the disciples. He says, they are if they keep the will of my Father. Those that obey me, he says, they're my brothers and my sisters, he says, and even my mother. Was Jesus denying that he had a brother or a mother in the flesh? No. But what he's saying is that the brotherhood of believers, the family of believers, is even more important than our blood relationships. This relationship in the kingdom will remain forever. Blood relationships will be broken. There will be brothers in heaven and hell, won't there? Just like the rich man and Lazarus. There's no guarantee that everybody in the family is going to be the same place for all eternity. The kingdom of God, Jesus is saying, is more substantial. That's more important. He's talking about the community of believers. And so as he does, and as he talks about those believers, he says, who will keep his Father's will, he's going to then, a little bit later on the day, come out of the house, enter a boat, and teach the multitudes about how people respond to the Word of God that he is sowing, and how their response indicates whether they're in this new community, this new family of his brothers and sisters and his mother. So there's a great multitude, we're told in verse 2. We're told in verse 3 that Jesus spoke to them in parables, particularly in the early part of Jesus' ministry. He spoke a lot in parables. But I think it's important to realize that he spoke to a great multitude. In other words, there were a lot of people early on in Christ's ministry who wanted to hear what he had to say. Later on, the crowds aren't following him like they did at the beginning. People were very interested, very excited about his ministry. And so I think in light of that, he gives us this parable of the sower. So we consider the context. He's already taught about who are his true brothers and sisters and mother. We've already learned he's preaching to a multitude, and he's preaching in a parable. Now, who are the characters in this parable? There's the sower. This is Christ himself. He tells us in verse 37, "He that soweth the seed is the Son of Man." In verse 37, he's dealing with another parable, the parable of the wheat and the tares, which is very similar to this parable. But in that parable that still has a sower, he says, "The sower is me, it's the Son of Man." So I think we're to understand that he is the sower. And yet we see the Apostle Paul telling us in 1 Corinthians 3:9 that he was a laborer together with God. So I think we can understand that Jesus was the original New Testament gospel preacher. But since he has gone to the Father, there are many others, right? His apostles, and many others have been called to that task of sowing the seed of the gospel ever since. But when a man of God preaches the Word of God, we must always remember that Jesus, as prophet, is teaching the Word of God. Jesus is always sowing. Even when a minister is sowing, Jesus is sowing. It's His Word, and He's sowing His Word. And we're told in verse 19 of this chapter that it is the Word of the Kingdom. So He's talking about the Word of a family that makes a family, and He says it also makes a kingdom. The response to it dictates whether you're a citizen of this kingdom. So He's preaching about the kingdom. So we have the sower, that's one of the characters. But then we have four types of hearers, described as four types of soil. I guess I'm probably pretty sure that some of you once did a little farming or maybe lived on a farm. And remember, in Israel at this time, people didn't have very sophisticated farm equipment. They would have their seed in a bag. They would pick it up in their hand, and they would throw it. They wouldn't have areas where they could keep their roads very clear. They didn't have paved roads, so where they were moving carts or whatever, some of that ground would get hard. They didn't have real sophisticated equipment to dig up the ground and keep it all soft. So some was soft, some was hard. It was hard for them to get rid of all the weeds. They also, in the Promised Land, were growing a lot of their soil was on rocky land. Land that continued to give up rocks. Sometimes you didn't realize just that there were rocks just under the surface. You really couldn't know just how rocky the soil was necessarily. You didn't have a lot of good equipment to get down too deep to tell. So the picture is this man sowing seed on all of his land, but some of the land is better than others. The first land is like the wayside. It's like where the carts have run. It's hard. The seed doesn't go down into the ground, and so the birds come and eat the seed. Birds like seed, don't they? Then we hear the second soil. Soil that's stony. Not too far below the surface, there's a big rock. So there can't be much roots. And so without much roots, the seed doesn't grow very deep. It grows up first, so it's the first that springs up. But it doesn't have a good root system, so it's not going to be able to get enough water to remain healthy when the sun starts coming out in the summer, late spring. Then you have the soil, it says, where it's on this thorny ground. It's around thorns. It says the thorns grow up. In other words, in the springtime, the thorns start flourishing, and before long, they've overtaken some of whatever's growing up there. And then we have a picture of the fourth kind of hearer, the good ground hearer. This is ground that's soft. There's not thorns in it. Thorns growing around it. It's not stony. It's not hard, packed, soft. It absorbs the seed. So we see one sower, four kinds of people hearing the Word of God. The wayside hearer, the stony ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer, and the good ground hearer. But now let's consider the content of this parable. I've spoken a little bit about it already. The sower is Christ. He's a preacher. He's preaching the Word of the Kingdom. In other words, he's preaching the gospel of good news through faith in Him. And that's what's going on in the sowing. He's informing people that they're sinners in Adam. They're dead in Adam. They're guilty of sin because of Adam, but also they're guilty of the own sins that they've committed. And they deserve hell. But in the gospel, we're told that Jesus has come to pay the penalty for the sins of all those that would trust in Him, that would go out of themselves and trust Him and recognize that in His finished work on the cross, Christ fulfilled their sacrifice, the penalty for their sin in His sacrifice for them. So we have Christ preaching the gospel, sowing the seed. In other words, preaching to multitudes like He was that day on the boat. In other words, He's telling the people that are receiving Him, that are hearing Him, that you're like this. Some of you are going to be hard pan, hard ground. Some of you are going to be stony ground. Some of you are going to be thorny ground. And some of you are going to be good ground. The first thing he talks about is the wayside here. In verse 19, he explains what he's already told us in verse 4. He assumes this person has heard. But he tells us in verse 9, they've heard, but they haven't understood. They listened, the words went through their ears, but they didn't understand what was being said. God hadn't given them light. And then it says, the wicked one catcheth it away. The wicked one's like a bird that takes the seed away. Did you know that Satan is very active when God's word is being preached? Have you ever thought about that? That's what Jesus tells us. He tells us that Satan's very active even when he was preaching the word of God to people. And so Satan is still active. And the wayside here, who's heard but doesn't understand, we can assume that he's unfruitful. The ground certainly doesn't bear any fruit because the seed that was put in that hard pan is now in the stomach of a bird. A bird's eaten that seed. When you eat a sunflower seed, you don't grow sunflowers in your stomach, do you? Okay, so that seed didn't bear fruit. No cucumbers were grown, no corn was grown. Whatever seed that was, that bird ate it and digested that seed. Then we have the second type of hearer. Jesus says this one that hears the word is like the stony ground. He says in verse 20, he hears the word, or she hears the word, with joy. They're very excited. They respond in a big way. They're impressed. They grow up first. You see, remember, seed on good ground doesn't spring up as fast as it might on shallow ground that's on top of a stone. The good seed and good ground is going to grow more roots first before it comes up. Since this one can't grow many roots, it springs up fast. It looks like a real zealous Christian. But he says, then tribulation or persecution comes. Suffering of one sort or another. Suffering from God through providence, what God brings in someone's life, whether it's their health or illness of their family members, what have you, other struggles, or persecution, another form of suffering that comes for having to stand for the truth of God. Either one of them, he says, it comes, though, because of the word. It comes because they've taken on this word, because they professed Jesus Christ to be their Savior and their Lord. And he says, when that happens, he says, they're offended. In other words, they really don't like this message any longer. They're offended at it. In other words, they stop professing the Lord that they had professed. And again, the assumption is they don't bear fruit. This seed doesn't bear fruit. It grows a little roots. It quickly springs up. And Jesus says the heat comes on and it dies. Before summer's very far along, it dies, it never bears any fruit. It never grows any corn on that stalk. But then he speaks of the third kind of hearer, the thorny ground hearer. He again says he hears the word. But we're told it's not tribulation or suffering for the word of God, but he says it's the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. He says they've listened to the sower. They've heard this message about a kingdom that's not of this world. And they've said they want to be part of that. And yet, they live in this world like this world is all there is. This world begins to swallow up their thinking. For a time, they were very interested in that world beyond this world. They were very interested, like some children were, in returning to Narnia. Living in a world, and yet living in another world. And that's the way the Christian finds themselves, right? We're part of this world. We have to live in this world. And yet there's something more than this world for us, isn't there? We're part of a greater kingdom. A kingdom that has an invisible aspect to it, who has members that we can't see. Not just here on this earth, but in heaven. The unfallen angels, all the saints that have gone before us, cherubim, seraphim. And he says those cares of the world or the deceitfulness of riches. It's not that they have a lot of money, but they started listening to the lies of all their money. He says riches can be deceitful. They can tell you stories about how that's all you need. And some people listen to the lies that their riches tell them. They give in to them. And they begin to think that all that really matters about security is having enough money in their wallet or in their checking account, right, or in their portfolio of their stocks and bonds and the like. He says these kind of people, though they receive the word, though they look like they were true Christians, he says they're unfruitful. They don't bear any fruit. They don't demonstrate in their life or in their testimony that they're Christians. He says there's a lot of people that hear the word of God. Some don't respond. Some do positively, but then don't show they're not Christians. But he says then there's another kind. This is the good ground here. He says they hear the word and they understand it. Not like those ones on the hard ground that heard it and didn't understand. These people understand. Jesus, in the parallel passage that we find of this parable in Luke chapter 8, says this in verse 15. Luke gives us a little bit more information on what Jesus said. Whether he said this at the time that he's preaching here or whether he gave this parable at another time, we can't be absolutely certain. But Luke says that he included these words. Having heard the word, these good ground hearers, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Here in Matthew, we're told they bring forth fruit. We're told how much fruit? 30, 60, 100 fold. And here we're told they bring forth fruit by keeping God's word. In other words, they do what it says. They believe that Christ is Lord. They believe what He said, and so they're going to do it. They're going to keep it. And they also will bring forth fruit, He says, with patience. In other words, they're going to keep God's Word no matter how hard it gets to keep God's Word. In other words, they're going to constantly, faithfully continue to keep God's Word. Not for their salvation, but because of their salvation. Because God has been gracious to them and save them, they're going to seek to live for God. And they're going to do it with patience. He says they're the ones that bear fruit. But here we're told that some bear fruit 100, some 60, some 30. You see, sometimes a farmer goes out and sows his seed. And given the rains and the amount of sunlight and the like, he has a great big corn harvest, the biggest he's ever had. Right? And then the next year, same amount of seed, treats the ground just the same, same fertilizer, everything else, he gets half the amount of corn. Maybe the next year, does the same thing, only gets half of that. And that's the picture here. Some Christians, though they're good ground, they're going to bear more fruit than others. We're not all bear the same amount of fruit. That's the picture. They're still all good ground. They're still all true Christians. But all Christians aren't alike, are they? Some are weaker than others. Some are stronger than others. So we've seen the context. We've seen the characters. The sower, the four soils. We've seen the content. What happens to these four soils? How people are a lot like soil. What's the conclusion? Jesus gives us the conclusion in verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, you better hear right. Don't hear like a wayside hearer. Don't hear like a stony ground hearer. Don't hear like a thorny ground hearer. In other words, be a good ground hearer. Have ears to hear. Hear. Again, in the parallel passage, Jesus says in Luke 8:18, Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. In other words, he says, it's your duty to hear properly. You can't say, well, God made me a hard ground hearer, and therefore I'm not responsible. Now, Jesus says, hey, though there's different ground, you're responsible. You better hear properly. That's what he calls us to. So what are the applications? What are some of the consequences? I think clearly we see that when the Word of God's preached, there are some that aren't interested. Right away, they're not interested. But we do see that some are, a lot of people are interested. But they don't always remain interested in the gospel or in the Christ of the gospel, do they? We also see here that the world, the flesh, and the devil work to hinder the Word of God. Jesus says he's the preacher. He preaches on wayside ground, and like a bird that comes and takes it, so does the wicked one snatch the Word away. We also hear of the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of the riches. We hear of tribulation and persecution. The world, the flesh, and the devil are all working against the fruitfulness of the Word of God. The Word is pictured as a seed. And the seed is a seed to bear fruit, isn't it? What's the goal of a seed? If you were to ask a piece of corn, right? Something, well, yeah, if you could speak to him and say, what are you, Colonel? What is your end in life? To bear fruit, right? He wouldn't say to be eaten by a bird. To grow up and bear a little green stalk that gets burned up by the sun. To bear a little stalk that gets swallowed up by thorns and doesn't bear any fruit. What would a little corn kernel want to be when he grew up? He'd want to be a big stalk of corn, wouldn't he? So this is the picture. But the world, the flesh, and the devil work against the Word. But the Word is greatly influential. It, by the power of the Spirit, bears fruit 30, 60, 100-fold in a lot of people. Not in all people, but in a lot of people. God's very good to many people, isn't he, in Adam? We also see that the influence of the Word isn't always equal. Some are fruitful at 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. The Word isn't equally fruitful when it's fruitful. Jesus could say in John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. I think from that we learn that we ought not to be satisfied with being 30-fold believers. It says we ought to try to abound in the work of the Lord. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:58, having spoken about the resurrection of Christ as being the picture or the model for us and our resurrection as believers, tells the people there at Corinth, because of that, he says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He says, yeah, though you're going to have to deal with money, and money's going to lie to you, and you're going to be tempted to let those thorns of the world squeeze you, you're going to be tempted to give up because of persecution, for standing for what you believe, the Word says. Paul says, no, be steadfast and be immovable. Like a warrior, don't give up. Keep on abounding. Always abound in the work of the Lord. Don't abound for a little while and then go on vacation as a Christian. Don't retire. He says, you're on in the battle as long as I'll have you in the battle. Until God is pleased to take us to His heavenly rest. That's what He calls us to. And then next to last, we need to see that the condition of the soil determines the reception of the Word. In other words, the Word is the Word. It's pure. It's good seed. It's not bad seed because it fell on hard ground. It's not bad seed because it fell on thorny ground. It's not bad seed because it fell on stony ground. It's the same seed. The Word of God is pure. It converts the soul. It's able to make one wise unto salvation. It's the state of one's soul who hears the Word of God that ultimately is the reason why it's either received to fruitfulness or not. And so what's the last application or conclusion? It is along the lines of what Jeremiah told the people of God of old who are in sin. He says in Jeremiah 4:3, "Break up your fallow ground." In other words, he's telling the people of God, your heart has gotten hard like hard soil. You haven't cultivated it. You haven't dug it up and kept it soft. And over the seasons, the rains come, it's gotten muddy, it's gotten packed down, it's getting harder and harder and harder. And so Jeremiah says, break it up, soften it up, do some work on your own heart. How do we do that? We do it by letting the Word of God speak to us, being vulnerable to God, taking His Word seriously, comparing how we're living with what He says. And that's really the same thing as Jesus saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Pay attention how you hear, or take heed how you hear. In other words, it's our duty to hear properly. And to hear properly, we have to stir up our souls. We have to ask God to make us to have good ground that we might rightly receive. Because ultimately, we can't soften our hearts without His help, can we? That's not a task you want to take on by yourself. God tells us to do it, yet the rest of His Word tells us that we have to ask Him for His help to do anything for spiritual profit. So we have to ask Him to soften our hearts that we might receive the Word of God in truth, that we might bear fruit, that the Gospel might bear fruit in our lives through faith in Jesus Christ, our prophet to teach us, our king to rule over us, our priest to intercede and be a mediator for us, and thus be our Redeemer and Lord.